Good morning. We are on a journey. We've been on a journey this summer, and I'm glad that you have been journeying with us and with me. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. We'll get there in a moment. We'll get there in a moment. But if you're a guest with us, we are so, so grateful that you have joined us and have given us your time and your energy and this moment with us, because we know your time is valuable. We know your time is valuable, and that is so important to us that you're here. So we do want you to take advantage of the gifts that we have back at the welcome area as our guests this morning. Well, we are on a summer journey. Specifically, we've been on a journey through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we're not to Luke or John yet, but we're in the book of Mark with this 90 days of reading, and I hope that this has been captivating you in a new and fresh way, just to be able to see Jesus over and over and over again as the Gospels, tell the story. And some of those stories have been known, and some of those stories just aren't well known to us. I mean, we have to admit it. We come to it and we go, wow, when did this get written? Right? I mean, it just kind of popped. It really didn't. It's been there the whole time. But we just realized that. So we're doing the very same thing on Sunday mornings. We're taking a look at some of those passages of scriptures, others well-known, others not so much. Hey, I want to just comment just briefly on the last 3 weeks that we've been experiencing together. And I've been able to be a part of that and to set where you're setting. And I just want to let you know, if you haven't felt it, there has been a continual pressure, not by the mouthpieces of God that have stood here, but by the Holy Spirit of God on just this ultimate reason why Jesus came, why Jesus lived, why he died, why he was resurrected. And it's ultimately this, that what we just sang about, that people who don't have life, who are think they're alive, but actually are dead, can have life. And we only have to go back to Genesis chapter 3 to find that out, to remind ourselves that those who do not have Jesus, that are not living for him and with him, are really living and walking dead. I mean, it's kind of a harsh statement, but really that's the case. It's not just the forgiveness of sins, but it's a life. And so we have come, if you're a follower here this morning, if you Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have been charged, not by me, but by him, to be able to share life so that people don't die, so that people have life. And I think that is so, so cool that we have that ability to do that, and we can be a part of that. Well, we started 3 weeks ago with just kind of this challenge, and I want to remind you that there are 98 names that are on that cross. Initially, there were 98 names on that cross that you said that the Lord had placed on your heart, not only the number of people, but the names of people that you're going to pray for, converse with, and then invite to follow Jesus. I mean, that's just incredible. And I'm looking forward to the harvest. Are you? Are you anticipating the harvest and the opportunity to be able to share Jesus? Now, I want to remind you of something, that it's not your job to get them to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit's job, but we are charged with inviting people to that experience, to inviting people to the very best friend that we have in the whole wide world. Now, last week, Keith was just so gracious and continued to follow up as we've been following the last 3 weeks and asked us the question, who is our Ethiopian official? If some of you are here, you won't be able to hear it online for reasons of, there's reasons why you can't hear it online, because he's in creative access and we can't let that out. But he asked us the question, who's your Ethiopian official? Who are you going to come near and hear, right? Remember those two verbs that he shared with us? And we have 7 more names that were added to that. So we have 105 names that are on there that we have said over the next 3 months, 90 days, we are going to pray for, converse with, and invite to follow Jesus. I just think that is incredible. That is incredible. So if you're a guest with us, we're all about Jesus. We're all about seeing Jesus' love invade our community, more specifically, individuals in their lives. And so we are glad to have you with us. If you have questions about that or anything else, then please ask me. The connection team, those who are out there helping out, wearing the name badge, or anybody on the worship team will be able to help you, and we would love to be able to facilitate that. Well, today we're in Mark chapter 14, so I hope you have your Bibles open or your technology turned or clicked on to that. We will be wrestling with a word Jesus says about a woman in the story. He says that she will be remembered for what she did. When we remember, we recall, we relive, and we remind ourselves of something in the past, right? I mean, when we look at pictures, Kathy and I have been married 25 years. When we look back at the pictures, we realize we were pretty young, very naive, didn't know things. It's a good place. Naive is a good place, by the way. I just had a discussion with my daughter about this. Naive's not bad. Just means you don't have experience yet. You'll get it about some things in life. I mean, we remind ourselves of those things. So I thought we would play a game this morning. Well, before I get there, some of us have a hard time remembering. I mean, let's admit that. It's not just an age thing, not picking on age. Some of us just, we have a good forgetter, right? I mean, Kathy has to remind me about things and has always had to remind me about certain things, dates and events that have happened. And sometimes we create ritual around those things just to remember. Like we have family reunions. It's good to see each other, but we often tend not to go, hey, what are you going to do in 10 years? We kind of go, hey, remember when we did? And that's how it flows. We don't look forward. We tend to look backward, right? And the rest of us, well, we don't forget well at all, and we wish we could. In fact, did you know that there is a disease? I saw this and I had to look it up. Did you know that there's a disease where people never forget a thing? Oh, hyperthymesia. Hyperthymesia. You ask them a specific date and maybe even a time, and they can tell you exactly where they were, what they were doing. Now, for those of us who would like to remember more, I don't know if you'd like to remember that much more. I mean, and they don't even want to. I mean, it's just incredible, right? But we tend to forget or we remember. But Jesus said something about this woman that we need to sink into our heads, that she would be remembered not by name, but by an action. Not by name, but by an action of what she did. But before we get to that, let's play a game. Let's just play a game, and this is class participation. You might even get a gold star. So, do you remember this? Let's see the first page. There you go. Anybody remember this? You do? Who was there? What is this? Yeah, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I mean, Kathy and I, we went to Williamsburg. We were in the room that they did it. You know, it's kind of a cool thing. We remember this because of history class and ritual, right? We just got through July 4th, right? All right, next one. Anybody remember this? All right. I remember it only from history class. How many people remember it? Where were you when this happened? Do you guys remember? Come on. Where were you, Mary Jane?
It was called Tube Form Patrol on Farmington Road in Livonia.
See, I told you. There are people that just never forget. It's just incredible. Yeah, when President Kennedy said that we're going to be on the moon and you get to the moon, right, you don't forget those things. You don't forget a lot of other things that happened during that era of time either, do you? What about this one? Anybody? Do you remember? Do you know? Been there? How many have been there? Not been there yet, okay? Right, right. All right, next one. Everybody, yeah? Anybody remember that? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., right. Yeah, we remember things even if we're not a part of them. That's sometimes a part of what goes on. How many remember this? All right, tell me what it is. Okay. All right, somebody raise their hand and tell me what it is. I can't hear everybody at once. Carolyn.
We won the World Series.
But who is that? No, that's Kirk Gibson. He hit a homer in the eighth inning, was it? Okay. What's that? Yeah, see, I knew there's... Yeah, so, and we're hoping for that day. There's another reason I put that picture up. Can anybody anybody who knows me well figure out why I put that picture specifically up about the World Series and Kirk Gibson specifically. Anybody? Come on, Greg. You know. He's a Michigan Stater. Come on. Come on. All right. All right, this. Yeah, I mean, we have fond memories of Billy Graham, don't we? Whether we went to a crusade or not, we have fond memories of Billy Graham and his crusades, and what gets heralded sometimes is what we see is how he interacted with presidents. I mean, just the class act that he was. Not everybody will remember this, but a few of us will remember this. Anybody in here remember this? Yeah. So that's more personal. It's more personal. That's one, I'm going to point out, Tommy Strader up there is going to be riding in Wombat. It's a missions ride to raise money for a missions group. And that year is when John Hitler and Keith Holton and Dan Zak, we all rode together, rode into Mackinac City in the Wombat. So, yeah, so it's more personal. Thought it would kind of be fun for a few of us. And Kathy and I are not, you can't see it, but they're all in the front because they're first-timers. We're in the back. So that's what you get to do, Tommy, is be in the front. So, but the question is, how do we want to be remembered? How do we want to be remembered? Let's take a look at the scripture for today, starting in Mark chapter 14. How do you want to be remembered? Now, the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. Now, if some of you have already read this for the 90 days reading, you know that this chapter is packed full. Packed full. And if you haven't, you'll go read it later. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the pure perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Verse 6, leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Can I ask the question again? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? Let's just walk through this passage a little bit. For those of you who are familiar with this, you will understand, but for those of us who are newer to the text and through the Bible, we won't understand. The Passover of which they're talking about is this move of people thousands of years before out of Egypt who were caught in slavery. They were caught in bondage, and they were being moved out. So Passover is this celebration event to remind them of how God redeemed them. And it also pointed to a future time in history, in the text we're looking at, that was going to come to fruition very, very, very soon. And so it's found in the book of Exodus, if you're not familiar with it. And the word Exodus means deliverance, that God delivered them. And so God sent Moses from the desert to Pharaoh, to the ruler of Egypt, to share with him that God had heard the cries for help from his people and was going to free them and redeem them, and they were going to possess the promised land, which was promised prior to Moses with Abraham, or Abram, depending on where you read it. And we have come to understand, friends, that God is a promise keeper. He keeps every promise that he ever gives, that he ever sends, that he ever delivers to you. He is a promise keeper. And the Hebrew people were required, according to the law, according to what was set up in the nation, to keep this Passover. The Passover specifically meant that the death angel passed over their house by putting blood on the doorpost of their homes. That's Passover. The death angel passed over their home so that their firstborn sons would not die. So every year, as a reminder, to remember what God had done on their behalf, they would have Passover. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread was the 7 days following. So Passover was a 24-hour period, and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread was 7 days following that. So the Jewish people were anticipating the celebration and the festival of unleavened bread in this passage of Scripture, and they were passing through, again, this reminder of God's a promise keeper. In the midst of all of this promise keeping, can you imagine this? If they had what we have, this reflection, this ability to see what they were about to do and what they were going to scheme against, they were scheming against the very one who was going to keep the promise. They were playing right into the prophecy's hand, and it was going to come to fruition through Jesus. So we have to ask the question when we look at the passage, where is Jesus? And I love this because of what we've been talking about. He happens to be reclining with Simon the leper. Now, we probably need to surmise and figure this out. If you read different translations, you'll realize that Simon is no longer a leper. He's been healed. And probably Jesus had a great hand in that, in his healing. But I just want to point out to you, friends, that if we're thinking about our friends who will be placed on the cross, one of the best places to find them and to be with them is at the table, and maybe in their own place, in their own space, in their own time. Jesus continues to remind us over and over again. Now, you can have them in your home. It doesn't really matter. But we're going to continue to find over and over and over again that Jesus finds himself at a table. In fact, can I just, if you haven't broke open Mark 14 yet, I'm going to steal the show. You probably already read it. You remember that Jesus was at the table with Judas, the very one that was going to betray him, and he celebrated communion with Judas. Folks, just want to let you know, hanging out with people who are different than us, who have different views, demonstrates love, but it doesn't implode our theology, doesn't make our theology go away. In fact, it allows it to stand very firm in Christ and in God. That was 2 cents I wasn't planning on. Jesus is just having a normal conversation. And we have to kind of get a view. We've talked about this a few times, but the context of how this woman could make it into a home is not like our homes. More of an open courtyard ability. The windows probably were that you could see in. The conversation you could hear coming billowing out. Sometimes when Jesus was at a house, he was often teaching or talking and sharing in life, right? And people would then interact from the street. And so this woman making her way into where he was reclining is not so unusual. It's not so uncommon as we would find it if our neighbors, while we were having a dinner party, would open the door, walk in, and pour something on our heads. We would find that unusual. Probably not, that was a little unusual, but having them walk in and have a conversation was not so much because it was community. It was communal. It was shared, even with those who, well, may be different than us. So that's what was taking place. And Jesus is just living out love. He's living out love. He's living who he is and sharing his love. So let me just put into perspective the worth of this bottle of expensive perfume. Or maybe. I did a little research to find out, you know, how much an expensive bottle of perfume would be. So here are, it's an image, it's an image. This is Clive Christian No. 1 Imperial Majesty Perfume. Now, anybody have this on their shelf? Because if you do, we need to have a nice conversation. Guess how much an ounce of this cost? How much? Not quite that much. Yeah. $12,721.89 per ounce. Can you imagine? Now she had a alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume, right? And she goes and breaks it and pours it onto his head. Now, I tell you that because if somebody had $12,000 an ounce perfume and they came in and they poured it out, I'm not saying on me, poured it out, please don't put that there. We would probably go, what are you doing? We could sell that. You know, and some of us would think, we could sell that and help the poor. And some of us would think other things, right? Let's just be honest. Right? Man. I mean, there's a part of me a great part of me that would just gasp, right? I mean, that believes giving God my second or thirds is okay. Are you hearing me? That it's okay to give God my secondhand furniture because I'm getting new. It's okay to, tithing, you know, what he said in Scripture about tithing, to be able to give him my best, well, it doesn't really matter that much. Now, if you're a guest here and you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not caught under this. I'm giving you an out. You might not want an out by the time we get to the end, but I'm giving you an out because there is an out, right? To give less of myself to others as Jesus has called us to do, right? Love God and love my neighbor as I love myself. But I'm going to give them a little less so I have more for me and more for what I want to do. And we may do that so that we have, right? It's okay. Mark tells us a story earlier about a woman. In Jesus, you might find this really kind of weird. It would be like me sitting here, and we did the offering where you came forward, and I would just sit and watch what you put in. Well, Jesus was doing that one day. He was watching, I don't know, from a distance, but close enough to see what people were putting in. Rich people came through, and they put a wad of money. I mean, they probably did. They probably, look how good, look what I can do. And a lady came by, and she dropped 2 cents, two little bits, I don't know. And he says to this, hey, teaching moment. Let me tell you something. This woman gave more than they did. And they're probably scratching their head. What do you mean? She gave more than they did. She only gave, no, you don't understand. She didn't have anything anyway. And she gave all that she had. But the rich, they got it stackpiled. The rulers, they know how to play the game. The pastors, let's just put it where it is. They know how to make it seem and appear. So when we get to this passage of Scripture, when we look at this, we have to ask the question again, how do we want to remember? Because this woman walks in, no name, right? The disciples get their name, even Judas gets his name, but this woman doesn't get her name written down. She just gets her act written down. And he says, and it is declared every time this passage is preached. Every time the gospel is heard, we are reminded of this woman who is not named yet gave. What is Jesus saying when he states this, this woman will be remembered everywhere the gospel is preached? What did she do that would cause him to say that? He's also contrasting in this passage of scripture this resistance on behalf of those who are rulers, those who are in place of power, those who are in place of authority, who may kind of resent. He's like, whoa, wait a second. What do we do with that? There are people in our lives that we remember because they love lavishly. Just take 10 seconds and think in your life of somebody who, not because they're wealthy, but because they've loved lavishly. So throughout my life, I've had several people who have just loved incredibly. And it's usually accompanied not by them saying that they love me, but accompanied by the very actions that they provide that go along with it. Like the couple that took me camping when I was a preteen. Parents didn't camp. Now that seems minor, but they brought me under their wing and loved on me, close up and personal, and shared their life with me. Thinking about our wedding, the two couples that were our hosts, who they didn't have wealth, but they had themselves and shared moments of coffee, of conversation, of discipleship. They loved lavishly. They will be remembered by me. You see, I think Jesus just wants us to love. And this woman was so changed by the grace and by the presence of God that she just gave. And she held to the principle that I think sometimes we sometimes rearrange. She loved him first. She loved him most. So how do you want to be remembered? You see, we need to love our fellow man. But we need to love God first. See, it's out of loving him first that he shows and demonstrates to us on how to love others lavishly and extravagantly. And I believe that that's what this woman is remembered for. Her love for him. So we need to love him first, but he does call us to love others, right? And so that is why we have a family in our home who without a hesitation took in another family of four because they didn't have a home. We have in our midst, and I'm not going to go through all of them, who see beyond where they're at and have provided a way, and I know this is maybe a place, but it's something that is dear to this individual's heart, provided a way for them to go to the all-church campout. Understanding that really the love and support, we have individuals who see beyond the walls of this building, and who love extravagantly because they see that there are provisions that are needing. You're going to hear about it in a few weeks. There are provisions needed at Hope Clinic. You see, Jesus is just pointing up how to love. How to love him first and foremost, as we pour it out to him. And he said, out of loving me, you'll be remembered. But this is the thing that catches me. I want to be remembered for me. Right? I mean, come on, can't I write a book? I mean, Andy Stanley has a book. He has several, right? Can't I write a book? Can't I? I mean, but that's what crowds in, right? That's what comes in, is that why can't I have a platform? Why can't I be at someplace else? Why can't I? And I think no-named woman kind of speaks into that space and says, whoa, 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 whoa. If you do it for me, if you do it for me first, and out of that you do it for others, you will be remembered rightly. You will have your place. You may not have your name on a plaque. You may not even, that may not be the case, but you will be remembered. This is living out love the way Jesus has called us to live out love. Loving him first, foremost, lavishly, recklessly, if you will. We've sung about that, as he loves us. And then loving all people. So, in the next few moments, I want you to ask the Spirit, not me, I want you to ask the Spirit to, as the psalmist says, kind of, Father, bring that Holy Spirit investigation to my heart. How do I want to be remembered? Invite him in. Just go ahead and close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, Jesus, be truthful with me right now. How do I want to be remembered? What do I want to be remembered for? Father, I'm not sure what's coming to mind in others' hearts, but there are way too many moments in my day where I want to be remembered for me. For what I do. Yeah, Father, I think all my friends here, including me, Lord, want less of that and more of you. To allow my worship to be directed, my love to be directed to you first, that it's extravagant, that it may be even expensive. It costs me something because when it costs me something, then I pause and I'm able to then thank you for how you have continued to just direct my life in a way that demonstrates your love. Father, I thank you for this woman who reminds me of what will be remembered and to whom I want my actions to be remembered by you. Thank you. So Father, would you help us to be a people who are remembered for living out our love in extravagant ways to you and to others? Give us the ability to see past the lies to the truth of what endures. To offer ourselves in the fullness of who you've created us to be. We sang about it earlier that you make beautiful things, and Father, we want to be those beautiful things in which you're making and creating that demonstrate your love to the world. We find it, though, so easy to focus seemingly on the secondary things in life. And in fact, we sometimes put them first, just as those who are standing around, oh, the perfume. But Father, help us to live and love in a way that demonstrates our love for you first, that we talk about you always. This woman is remembered because she put her love for you first. She counted you worthy of the lavish and extravagant expression, even in the midst of a rebuke. So Lord, help us to even say your name in the conversation, to demonstrate our love for you to someone who needs hope and help and grace and mercy. And Father, I ask you to forgive me in those moments in which I've been hesitant. In fact, I've not just been hesitant, I've not said your name. I have not declared the hope that you bring to the lost, the least, the left outs, those who feel, those who don't even know you. Forgive me. And if there are others here, Lord, who would raise their hand figuratively, forgive us. Our love for you needs to be lived openly. And I think, and I know, that when we live our love in that way, Father, you can change the world through us. So, Lord, would you help us to grasp it? So, friend, I don't know what the Lord has pointed out to you, how you want to be remembered or what you want to be remembered for, but what is your next step? What is your next step? Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what is my next step? How do I step into loving as you love, as this woman loved? To be remembered how I loved you and what I did. If you're a follower, that probably is more your appropriate prayer and request of the Holy Spirit right now in your next steps. If this morning you've come in and you have not declared your declaration of love for Jesus and the Father, this may be your more appropriate or maybe your most appropriate prayer. Thank you, Father, for your grace found in and through Jesus. Save me and forgive me for my sins. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you. In Jesus' name. If that's your prayer, pray that prayer sincerely from your heart. Spirit already knows. Father, we thank you this morning that we are reminded by an unnamed woman of the kind of love that we're supposed to have for you, that drives a love that changes the world. In fact, later in that passage of Scripture, in Mark, we read what you did, Jesus. You gave your life. And we are grateful, eternally grateful. This morning, help us to surrender all to you. Help us to surrender all so that we may love you with all that we are, all that you're creating us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.